Well, greetings again as we look forward to opening God's Word together and having Him speak to us. So let's, for our first reading, let's read out of the book of Jeremiah. Let's read out of chapter 47. It's a short little, only seven verses, Jeremiah 47. The theme of Jeremiah's return, that was really what was on God's heart. And yet often the nations would not respond and not listen. So this is a prophecy concerning the Philistia. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against the Philistines before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood and shall overflow the land and all that is therein, the city, them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the earth shall howl. Now I'm just predicting, or just, you know, as we read this, you know, think, boy, there should be repentance then. You know, there's a calamity, and then there should be repentance, but often there's not. So let's read and see what happens. At the noise of the stamping of the hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels, the fathers shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands, because of the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines and to cut off from Tyrus and Zidon every helper that remaineth. For the Lord will spoil the Philistines and the remnant of the country of Kaphtor. Baldness shall come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself, O thou sword of the Lord? How long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard, rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There hath he appointed it. You know, again, just, you know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Part of the problem was just, you know, people would not respond to him and respond to the message from the Lord. Part of God's word that is not always pleasant, but it's certainly something that's part of God's character. Let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn 220, Boundless Mercy.
Be it here and boundless mercy.
Let's kneel and pray together. Father, we're thankful for thy boundless mercy, and Father, we're just humbled that thou art a God that is a God of compassion and mercy, a God of forgiveness, and a God of love. And we thank thee for that, Lord. And we also recognize, Lord, that thou art a God of judgment also. And even as we read about the judgment against the Philistines, Lord, we know that even as we read in Romans, that Brother Greg talked about that, and there is a judgment. And Lord, we're mindful of that we will be judged according to our deeds. And yet, Lord, when we come to thee, and when Jesus forgives our sins, and we see the love of Christ, and we take that payment for our sins, it's a wonderful and a blessed hour, time when we do that. And we thank thee, Jesus, for thy love for us, thy mercy for us also, and demonstrating that on the cross, and the death and the in thy death and thy resurrection. So we thank thee for that, Jesus. We thank thee for this time this afternoon, after a good morning and a good lunch together. Father, now we again have time to look to thee, look to thy word. We ask thy blessing upon our time, and just open our understanding that we may behold wondrous things from thy word. And be with those in Sunday school, the teachers and the young children, and we're thankful for Landon and that he has decided to make his faith known. Father, bless him and those other young believers and the converts, Lord, that they could walk worthy of thee unto all pleasing, and they could be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to thy glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And Lord, we know that that's one of Paul's prayers, and we pray that for those young believers. We pray for that for ourselves too. And Father, we are thankful for thy mercy to Brother Oliver Stiglitz in a way, and even going to the visitation, a sense of thankfulness, Lord, that in a life well lived, and then thou didst take him home. So Father, we just again pray for the Stiglitz family, and we pray just for thy peace, and thy comfort, and thy perspective, Lord, just on that situation, and the death and of a father and a grandfather and a great grandfather. So again, just be near that family. We know that there's others of us have suffered losses. We thank thee for thy comfort. We thank thee for thy peace that thou dost give. So God, again, just be with our time this afternoon, for thy kingdom and for thy glory. And we do love thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read out of the book of 2 Corinthians. And let's read out of chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read, starting at verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And much trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. For if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. For as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end, that which is abolished, but their minds being blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How would you title this chapter? If you were to give it a, just summarize it, how would you summarize this chapter? Well, they put titles in Bibles, so we don't have to think about it, do we? I can give you a few titles, but because there are a couple titles here. First title, The Credentials of Paul's Ministry, through verse 6. Verse 7, The Ministry of Splendor. But I think I would give it just a little bit different title, possibly. I think I would title it A Changed Life. What do you think? No, let me think of something else. Some of you didn't like that. No, I don't know. I mean, A Changed Life. I mean, that really drove Paul's... it drove his ministry. It drove what he was about. I mean, we can look in different places, but, you know, so what was really... And we've talked about this before, but what really was on Paul's heart? And I'm thinking of different, some different verses that Paul shared in different parts of Scripture, really what his heart was. And, you know, I think of Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians. Let's look at that. Look at that verse. Colossians 1. And let's look at the last few verses of that. Okay, let's look at Colossians 1, starting at verse 25. And let's listen to Paul's heart. And again, we can find that in different places. It says, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God." So this ministry was given to Paul for this church. "Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from generations, but is now made manifest to the saints." And, you know, we see that as we read in Corinthians too. You know, there it was a mystery. You know, it's so mysterious that, you know, Moses had to put a paper bag over his head, or whatever he put over his head. He had to cover himself from that, kind of from that old law and what was in the past. But now, look at verse 27. "Too, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." You know, Paul's heart, and I think that would be kind of be a summary in a way of what Paul wanted to share. You know, it was on his heart that he wanted to talk about the mystery of Christ being in you. And I think that's what's Paul's heart was here. And look at verse 28. He went to talk about that mystery. It talks about that in verse 27. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 27, that's 27. Then verse 28. "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom." And that was just on his heart. You know, he would warn people, he would teach people, and his whole goal, he says, you know, my whole goal is to present people perfect in Christ. Did you see Todd come in today? I was talking to Tyler. Anyway, you know, when I saw Todd, I thought, you know, what can I say? Well, you know, what could we share with Todd? Because we've shared the gospel with him before. You know, we've sat down and told him about Jesus, and he knows that. We told him about the plan of salvation, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He knows that. And Jesus paid the price. He knows that. And you must receive Christ, and he knows that. So, you know, I just thought, you know, what could be shared? So he was carrying a Bible, a white Bible. Did you see that? Some of you saw that. He was carrying a white Bible, so I said, "Oh, that's a good book." And I took it and opened up to the beginning of the book. I didn't know what was going to be written in there. And there were some verses in there. And one was Matthew 6, 33 and 34. And I said, "This is a great verse. Do you know this?" "No, let's read it." So we went and read it. You know, and I thought to Todd, you know, this is, if he would just take a hold of this verse, it could change his life. So we opened to Matthew. You know what Matthew 6:33 is? I mean, it's a powerful concept, and I think that was Paul's heart for the Corinthians, and for the Colossians. And you can read it over and over again. That same heart that Paul had. So what is Matthew 6:33? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the rest will be provided." So I just asked Todd. I said, "Well, Todd, would you know what seeking the kingdom means?" He said, "No, I really don't know what that means." I said, "Do you know what seeking God's righteousness means?" And he just, you know, he had a few answers. But you think about that, or if I think about that in my life, what else do we need? We need a lot. I mean, there's lots of things we could add to that in a sense. But isn't that key? Seeking first God's kingdom. And then his righteousness. So we talked about righteousness and how that could play out in our lives. So let's go back to, that's just an example that we can do on a daily basis, but let's go back to Paul's heart for these children, for his children. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And he's asking, in the title, this Bible says, you know, what are the credentials that we need, or what does the credentials that Paul needs? And what's a letter of recommendation? If he needs a letter of recommendation, who would it come from? And it says it would come from you, Corinthians. You know, I want you to be a letter that's written, a letter. Let's look at a few the thought in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as others epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You know, do we need this? But then he says in verse 2, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He wanted the Corinthians to be the letter of recommendation. I mean, this is at least the second, maybe the third letter he wrote to them. Second Corinthians is, there's assumptions, or maybe another letter. But he says, I want you, you guys are my letter of recommendation. And it's known and read of all men. So I stop and I think. I think, okay, now what? If I were to be if my life was to be a letter of recommendation, what would it say? You know, what would the letter read if it was to be from me? You know, what would it say? You know. And as you see in verse 3, it's not written on a law, but it's written on the table of a heart. And you know, Paul's desire was to have a good letter of recommendation. Has anyone asked you to write a letter of recommendation? You know, maybe to get into college, maybe to for a job, and you think about that letter of recommendation, and you really like to recommend somebody for this position. Recently, our school hired a new teacher, and it was interesting to look through those letters of recommendation. The applicants, you know, they would send in their letter of recommendation. We put them in our principal put them in a file, and you can read them. And it was so interesting to open those notebooks and just read the letter of recommendation. And they were quite different and very telling. You read one letter and you can tell a lot. And Paul says, I want a letter from you guys. I want a letter that would be a blessing. You know, I want a letter that would be an encouragement. And that was his desire, that they would, even as we read in Colossians, that they would, that he could present these people mature in Christ. So what, you know, I'm just thinking about that, this just a little bit more. You know, what would that letter be like? And if you need help, talk to Ron Gress. He's the go-to guy on some of these letters, writing letters. Letters of commendation. At least I think all my kids went to him. You know, just sent it to him. Ron, is this what it, well, how would you fix this letter up a little bit? What would you do to, and he'd kind of help write the letter. And we appreciate that. And he's done well in that. But it's kind of humbling. It's kind of humbling to say, even as I think about that, to think what kind of letter would I write for Paul, in a sense. Or would be written about me. So let's go to the last part of this chapter. First, you know, again, talking about Paul's credentials for the ministry, and if he needed recommendations, that it's written from the people here. But where does the ministry come from? And I think let's go to the last verse in this chapter, chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God." And you remember the story, how it talks about Moses being changed, and how when Moses met with God, that his face glowed. And a veil was put on his face. I think of a Kroger grocery sack, you know, just a brown bag. I don't know. Some kind of a veil was put over his face. And I think then he cut holes in so he could see, you know, so he wouldn't walk around and couldn't walk, you know, could walk. I mean, you need to be able to see, but something was put over his face, you know. And the challenge here, as I see it, is, you know, but we all, and I think that's you all too, but we all, but you all, with open face, now, you know, right now, we, as in a glass, we behold the glory of the Lord. Now, isn't that true? And that's really what we desire, to behold the glory of the Lord, you know, to see God face to face. And I, you know, one of my, and I shared it a month ago, I think, Exodus. I think it's probably worth turning to. I mean, just so we can remember, Exodus 33. You want to go back with me to Exodus 33? Now, this is not the passage where Moses had to put a veil over his face. That is in chapter 34. But 33, verse 11, it's a powerful thought. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." And I know I shared that before in part of we were talking about worship. And that's where it starts. I mean, seeing God face to face, you know, a face to face meeting, you know. So a question I'd ask myself: when have I last met God face to face? You know, when did I? And that's what Paul desires. That we all. It's not but the ministry, but the ushers, or but the Sunday school teachers. No, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So as we behold the glory of the Lord, guess what happens? Then we're changed. When you see the glory of the Lord, and I contend that we should do that as meeting the Lord face to face, as with a friend. Now, I don't, you know, there's no Shekinah glory, you know, going to happen every day, but there's a, you know, there's a there's a strength and there's a power as you meet the Lord in His Word, and then we can be changed. And Paul says, that's what I want. I want you to regularly meet the glory of the Lord, see the glory of the Lord, and see the beauty of the Lord, and speak to the Lord face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And then if we'd had time, we could go into Exodus 34, which talks about that same thing happening. As Moses met the Lord face to face, the glory of the Lord was evident to him. And then at the end of that verse says, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. It's kind of a compounding thing. It goes from glory to glory and so on. You know, you talk to a new convert and you hear their testimony as a 13-year-old. Then you hear a testimony from them as a 20-year-old. They should be changed as a 20-year-old. They should be changed as a 13-year-old. They should be changed as a 20-year-old. How about 30? They should be changed as a 30-year-old. They should be changed as a 50-year-old. I mean, there should be a change, and I gather that that's what Paul's heart and desire is. It's changed from glory to glory, and we keep growing in that glory, and we grow. And where does that growth take place? That growth takes place by the Spirit of the Lord. What passage are you thinking about that you could see the face of God? Think about a passage. Where would you go to see the face of God and to be changed from His glory, from glory to glory? You could go to Exodus, couldn't you? You go to Exodus, you could read Exodus 33 or 34. You go to that passage and you see God. Where else do you see God? You know what they do in school these days? They type your answer in your phone. Could you just type in your phone and send it to me? What's your answer? Okay? Come on, I need some answers. Wouldn't that be great? Go to Psalm 27. Ooh, that's a good one. Love Psalm 27. You read Psalm 27, you know what? You're going to see the glory of God, and you're going to be changed from glory to glory, and you can kind of see the glory of God. Where would you go? What passage would you go? There's lots of passages. You get open the Bible. You'll see the glory of God and you'll be changed from glory to glory. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, let me check my phone. Somebody said Galatians 5. Good, let's turn there. Galatians 5. Just briefly. Let's go to, and let's just take a couple minutes, we'll be done. Galatians 5. Now, if you read this, you'll see the glory of God right here. Galatians 5:22. It's a very, very familiar passage. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God and of God's kingdom and His righteousness is, now come on, this is going to be awful bright, is love. Isn't that good? The fruit of the Spirit and of God's kingdom is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering, is gentleness, is goodness, is faith, is meekness, is temperance. Against such there is no law. I mean, that's a beautiful passage. I mean, you think about that. And you read that, it sort of glows, doesn't it? I mean, you think about those verses and those, you know, I think it sort of glows. Because I like that. And I appreciate that. Let's go to another answer, very good answer, is Psalm 145. Maybe this will be our last one, maybe not. Psalm 145. This passage glows. I will extol thee, or exalt thee. I will exalt thee, my God. O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Embedded in this passage is the fact that if you're blessing the Lord, and every day if you're blessing him, I think there's a glow because you're telling God that, and God is hearing that. And you're close to God, like Moses speaking face to face. And what is the Lord like? He's a king, and he's our God, and he is great. Look at verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious. We need that. We need the Lord to be gracious to us. The Lord is full of compassion. Thank you, Father, for being full of compassion. God is slow to anger. God is of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. Even in my situation? Yes, the Lord is good to all. Even what happened this past? Yes, the Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. And then, and this is such a... you move on, and we're not going to hit them all, but let's hit just a few more. 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. I love God's kingdom. You know why? Verse 13, I'd like to hear the answer. Isn't that great? I love it. Thy kingdom is it. Now look at verse 13. 13, thy kingdom, this is why I like God's kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. That's why I sorrow for Oliver, Greg's father, died at 89, working with his boots on. Ah, man, I know we're not supposed to be jealous. I mean, what a way to die. I mean, it's awesome. And why do we rejoice? Because God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. I think of that when I think of Oliver. His kingdom is everlasting. It's not temporary. It's not a short time. It's eternal. And I love that. And you think about God's kingdom, and guess what? There's a light and a glory and a joy there, isn't there? I mean, that's just a joy. And thy dominion endures through all generations. That is awesome. You know, it's just a character of God. Look at verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Everything he does is right. Oh, and holy in all his works. So you see God face to face here, and it changes us as we do that. It's a good 2 Corinthians 3 is a good chapter, and changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And I'll end with a story. I told you I'd tell this story, and I'm glad I remembered. It's about her sister. And it has a connection here because it ties in with Colossians 1, where Paul's desire was warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. One of the most and Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to go to Japan. So pray for us as we go, because it's a great experience to go see your granddaughters. And maybe, Lord willing, to have a grandson born while we're there. And then to visit the small churches. But there's great opportunity there. You know, but Marcel's sister and her heart for those around her was probably the biggest thing. As I think about my trip a year and a half ago, that stands out to me. It's much more impressive than Tokyo City. Much more impressive than the sights to me. Because she has an English program, and she has young students in this English program. And if they're in her English program, they have to come to the, and they, well, probably don't have to, but they're invited to come to the Easter program. So she has these students from the community come and present an Easter program in English. What a brilliant idea. Now, the only reason I'm telling you this is because I want some of you to get an idea like this, okay? You need to use this idea for our own. We got to export it from Japan to Indianapolis. So she has all these sweet little students. So they come up in front of the church, and we were there on Easter. I really didn't mean use your phone. I'm sorry. No, that's okay. Remember when Brother John Lehman is up here and his phone went off? I love that. And he's an elder, so anybody can. Your phones, let them go off. It's fine. If an elder can do it, we can do it. But anyway, get back to this, to Marie, and that's Makoto's mother. So she invites these children, and I was sitting in church watching these children, and I looked out and I started counting the people from the community. And Japanese people are not church-going people. You could probably bribe them. Maybe if so, I don't know. I don't know how you get them there. But Marie knows. I counted 13 adults from the community. Can you imagine that? 13 adults from the community had come to the Easter program to listen to the message from their children or grandchildren. Isn't that awesome? I just was so impressed by that. Here's a small church. 13 may worship on some Sundays. They had 13 visitors from the community listening to the gospel message. She had a heart, just like Paul had, for others. And I love that. So how can we do that? I don't know. But we need to be about that. I think of Ben and Suzanne. You know, I mean, they're doing that, aren't they? In that little family of theirs. I mean, boy, they're that's a great ministry. But we need to be thinking about that. And I love Paul's heart. And I just really appreciated Marie and her heart for the community.
Well, we had a great message this afternoon. There was lots of things for us to learn and to take away. We read in Galatians and Psalms and Matthew and Colossians and... So I was trying to take Ron's challenge to find a title for this chapter. So, and as we were going through this, there were some clues here that I was taking away. First, there was a living recommendation, a living letter. And then it talked about a living heart. You know, he wants us to not be rooted in tables of stone and written things written down, but in a fleshly living heart. And then he talked about the living spirit, and he talked about the living glory of God, that we should be a reflection of it. And then it ended here in this verse here that says, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there's freedom, and there's total freedom in Christ," which is so exciting to me. And so that was kind of what I thought was the whole theme here, is that we have a living God. We have a living God that is... He's out there. He's here today. And he's accessible to you. He brings that living water, which we've heard about, and that joy in our lives. I mean, he's alive. God's alive. God's not dead. He's alive. He's here with us. And this is his living word. And he wants us to be a living letter, a living recommendation in the world around us. He wants our hearts to be living in constant communication with him. He wants us to lean and on his living spirit. He wants us to show his glory, which is all about us. And he wants us to live in that liberty and freedom that is being a Christian. What a great joy it is to be a Christian today. Anybody have a song they want to hand out, give out? Be great if you guys have one. I didn't look one up, so. Ask a brother to close the day in prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, we come before thee, Lord, so thankful for a place to come to feel the peace that we heard about this morning, and to read about the truth of the word, and not just to know it, but to be given the spirit of action to live out your desires, Lord, in our life according to your will, and help us to continue to to seek your will, Lord, and not our own. That's not an easy thing for any of us to do, but we just want to fall before you and know that because of all that we've been given, we certainly have a lot of responsibility, not to just to live our lives in a just and peaceable way, but to share the truth of the gospel with others so that others can see what it means to truly have peace with God. So thank you, Lord, for the words this afternoon and the many truths that were brought out through the verses and multiple books of the Bible. Help us to just continue to spend time in your word, and to let those words soak into our hearts and come out through the way that we live. Thank you for this church and the hope that that we have as a church, and the way that we encourage one another and continue to grow. And leave those times as a child and grow into maturity and continue to change from glory to glory only because of thee. And so we thank you, Lord, again for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we just ask that you would be with us through this coming week, that that we would live out the truth of your gospel in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.